Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vinati Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokuti Nasram Kundadha Kunikidi Gopurtham Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamanamai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go Premanande. You're on for Friday. Where is everybody? Just now coming. First item of business. My wristwatch is out at the battery place. Someone lend me a timepiece.
11:40.
No, that's the time. I'm asking for a timepiece.
Oh, it's on the desk.
Oh. Okay, there's one in the back. And it's moving up toward the front. Go ahead. Let's see which one I like better. This one's nice. This one's not bad either. Good big numbers, I like it. This one's got the date. Okay, forget. I only need one. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All right, chapter 3. Arjuna Vacha Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Mata Buddhir Janardana Tatkim Karmani Kode Ma Neo Jayasi Keshava Yamishrene Vabakena Buddhim Moha Yasiva Me Tade Kambaranis Chitya Yena Shreyo Hamapnuyam Sri Bhagavan Vacha Lokesmin Divitanishta Pura Prokta Mayanaka Jnana Yogena Santyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam Na Karma Nama Naramhan Naiskarmyam Purushoshnute Na Chasanyasana Deva Siddhim Samadhigachati Nahi Kaschit Kshanamapi Jatutis Satya Karma Krit Karyate Yavasha Karma Sarva Prakriti Jargunahi Karmendriyani Samyamya Yaste Manasasmanam Indriyartan Dimutatma Mityachara Sukshate Yastrindriyani Manasa Niyamya Rapaterjuna Karmendriyai Karma Yoram Asakta Savishishate Niyatam Kudu Karma Tvam Karma Jayoga Karmana Sharira Yatra Pichate Na Prasidhyeda Karmana Yajyartat Karmanon Yatra Loko Yam Karma Vandana Tadartham karma kanteya mukta sangha samachara sahayagya prajashrishva pudovacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadvam esha voskrishta kamatuk devan pavayatanena te deva pavayantuvaha parasparam pavayanta shreya param avapshita ishtan bhogani bo deva dasyate yagya bhavitaha tayardatana pradayaibhyo yo bhunkte sena eva saha yagya shrishtashina santo mujjate sarva kilbishahe bhunjate te tukham papa ye pachantyatmakaranat annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavaha yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yagye pratishtitam evam pravartitam chakram nanuvarta yati hayaha akhayur indriya rama mokam partha sajivati yasvatma gatire vasyan atmakritasya manadaha atmanyeva sasansurshtas tasya karyam navidyate naiva tasya kritain artho na kritain eha kasyana na chasya sarva bhuteshu kasyadartha vyapashrayaha tasmāda sakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto yacharan karma paramapno tipurushaha karma naiva hi sansiddhim astita janakadayaha loka sangraham eva api sampashyan kartum arhasi chuditi shreshtas tattare vetaro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam varta eva chakarmani yadi yaham navarteyam jatu karmanya tandrataha mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvataha utside yuri me loka nakuryam karma chedaham sankarasya chakartasyam upahanyami ma prajaha sakta karmanya vidvamso yata kurvanti bharata kuryat vidvans pata shaktas chakir shur loka sangraham na buddhi bhedam janayet avyanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yukta samacharan prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahamkara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate tatva vittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matvada sajjate prakriter guna sammudha sajjante guna karmasu tana krishna vido mandan krishna vinda vichalayet mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudyashva vigata jvaraha ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shraddhavanto nasuyanto mucchyante te pi karma bhi ye tvetaravya suyanto nanutishtanti me matam sarva gyana vimuddham stan vidhi nashtana chetasaha sadrasham cheshtate svasya prakriter gyanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati indriyasyendriyasyarte ragadvesho vivaskrito tayor navashamagachit
tasyasya paripantano
Shreyan svadharma viguna padadharmat svanushtitat svadharme nidhanam shreya padadharmo payabaha Arjuna vacha atakena prayuktoyam apam charati purushaha Anichchanapi Varshneya Paladiva Niyojataha Shri Bhagavan Vacha Kamayesha Krodhyesha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidhyenam Ihavairinam Tumena Vriyate Vanir Yatadarsho Malenacha Yatobena Vrito Garbhas Tatatenena Mavritam Avritam Gyanametena Gyanino Nityavairina Kamarupena Konteya Dushpurena Malenacha Indriyani Manobhutir Asya Krishna Muchate Etarimo Hayatyesha Gyanma Vrithadehinam Tasmat Svam Yadnado Niyamya Paritarshava Papmanam Pragrihenam Gyanam Vijnana Nashanam Indriyani Paranyahur Indriyevya Paramanaha Manasastu Parabhudhir Yobhute Paratastu Saha Evam Buddhe Param Buddha Sansadhyatmanam Atmana Jai Shatrum Mahabhavo Kamarupam Durasadam Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambhade Karma Yoga Nama Tritiyo Dhyayaha. Wow, I've got a watch and an MP3 player. Anything else someone wants to offer?
Maharaj, you asked me that who commented that Brahma is the Brahma?
Ah.
It's
Vishnu. It's Vishnu. Okay. Prajapati. Om Ajnanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Maiham Shabadantikam. We discussed first Arjuna's apparent confusion by Krishna's apparently equivocal instructions. And we got Krishna's definitive answer that working is better than not working. You can't even maintain your own body without working. You can't stop working even for a moment. We heard about the importance of performing sacrifice, especially for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. And we heard that the demigods will also be satisfied by the sacrifices, and there'll be paraspara bhavayanta, there'll be mutual satisfaction. For someone who asked about the demigods, whether they really do depend on sacrifices, I was just listening to Brihad Bhagavatamrita this morning, where Sanatana Goswami in his commentary mentions that when Bali Maharaj took over the heavenly planets and took Indra's share of the sacrifices, Indra was practically starving. And he wasn't getting his sacrifices. So it seems there is that factor.
But these demigods, do they depend on the earthly planet people's sacrifices?
I was just answering that scene. I don't know where else they're getting sacrifices from.
I was told that when we do Pindadan, when people do Pindadan, the ancestors in Pitriloka, on their own, they will get some facilities. While we are doing Pindadan here, that will collaborate to that. They will get some facilities.
Well, that's for the ancestors, right? We're offering something to them, so they're getting something.
They're not getting exactly this one. They're getting something else there.
Sorry?
They're getting something else there. Even though we are offering some cakes here in Gaya, they're getting something else in there.
I see. It gets transformed. Yeah, it's not just the little cakes. They get more than that. Sure. Okay. Pretty nice here. Then, so we came to sacrifice being performed for Vishnu. Anyone who's not performing sacrifice
is essentially a thief. He's just stealing what the demigods are giving and not acknowledging anything in return. He's just Stena. He's a thief. One has to follow this system, this wheel, evam pravartitam chakram, of sacrifice, shaped like a six.
Is this like a tax?
Excuse me?
These sacrifices are like a tax to the demigods?
Is it like a tax to the demigods? Well, I wouldn't put it that way because no one likes to pay taxes, you know? Is it like a tax to the demigods? I've never heard it referred to as being like a tax.
Tax means obligation. Here there's no obligation, it's voluntary.
Paying
tax is your obligation.
No, offering sacrifice is an obligation too. Everything's voluntary. Paying taxes is voluntary too. You don't have to pay. You can take some other way of trying to satisfy things.
Are demigods obliged?
Whoa, I'm still dealing with the tax question. You wanted to respond to the tax question?
Yeah.
If they charge, this is the kind of thing they charge you, you know, like $80 an hour to answer your tax questions. Yes.
I was going to say, I would think it would depend on one's consciousness. If they're in the mode of passion, then one would see it as a tax. If one was more in the mode of goodness, one would feel a sense of gratitude.
Yeah, there you go. For a person who's grudging, you know, I don't get to keep 100%, I got to get something that kind of got all right. Whereas a person who's more advanced feels grateful. The demigods are giving us so much. Or finally Vishnu. Again, you know, there are those who are giving to Vishnu because, okay, I got to give to Vishnu grudgingly, like a tax. And there are those who are giving out of love. Okay. I cut some other questions off. What were those questions? Yes.
Are demigods obliged to give the results and somebody worship
them? Yeah, they more or less are. They're obliged. You know, okay, hey, they're given to us, we got to give to them. Even you give to anybody, you create an obligation, don't you? Somebody gives you something, now you're obliged. That's one of the, in Third Canto, for example, it's advised that one not accept things, that one be very careful about accepting things from women. Why? You know, you accept a simple gift, and now there's an obligation, you have to reciprocate. Mm-hmm. What do they say? There's no such thing as a free lunch?
So it's an invitation for entanglement.
It can be. You know, a woman comes and offers service, so now there's an expectation that you will reciprocate the service in some way. So one has to be a little careful. I remember when I was working at the press many, many years ago, there was one lady who was working at the press also, and she was also working in the pujari department. So every afternoon, after the afternoon offering, she would bring me a little cup of fruit from the deities. And every afternoon, I would distribute it.
That's why you're a sannyasi today.
Maybe so.
One of the reasons.
Okay. Other questions there? Okay. So yes, there's some debt, and it's mentioned later in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna's in the background, that he's guiding the worshipper from within the heart to offer something to the demigods. He's also guiding the demigods from within the heart. Hey, this guy gave you something, now you have to give to him. So the whole thing is going on because of Krishna's presence in the background. And with that, are the demigods, yeah, everyone. What is that? Trishu lokeshu kinchana. Nanavapta mavaptavyam. What is that? Oh, that's a different thing. But that's a different thing. That's also in this book, in this chapter. But later or earlier, it said that there's no living, divideveshu vapunaha. That there's no one in any of the planetary systems who's free from the three modes of nature. No, not Tribhi or Grunabai or Pavar. Divideve Shivai, let's see. Where is that? Good question.
What's the verse? 1 or 2 words I can search.
Divi Deve Shubha Punaha, I think that's. Can you do this? Got me. Second chapter, where is that? Where is that? Divi Deve Shubhapunaha.
That is
1840.
Yeah. 1840.
1840. Yes.
No being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary systems, which is freed from these three modes born of material nature.
There it is. Okay? So the demigods are also stuck.
That's in response to.
Are the demigods under the.
Oh.
So, person who doesn't offer sacrifice. Aghayur Indriya Ramo Mogam Partha Jivati. Indriya Rama, he's trying to enjoy sense gratification without offering anything to the demigods. So his life is useless. Mogam Partha Jivati. Yastu Atma Ratir Evasya, text 17. Atma Triptas Jamanavaha. Atman Yevata Santushtas. Tasya Karyam Navidyate. Now here's another person. He's not Indriya Rama. He is Atma Tripta, Atmani Santushta, Atma Rati. Everything is coming from the soul. His satisfaction's in the soul. His attention is toward the soul. Everything, his satisfaction is in the soul. So tasya, for him, karyam na vidyate. There's no prescribed duty. Karya means what you're supposed to do. There's no duty for him, and Prabhupada comments that this is for a person who's fully Krishna conscious and fully satisfied by acting in Krishna consciousness. For him, there's no duty. He's transcendental to all duty because he's engaged fully in the service of Krishna. But naiva tasya kritein arto na kritein edha kaschana nachasya sarva bhuteshu kaschid artha vyapashriya. Naiva tasya kritein artha. By working, he has no purpose to, nothing to achieve by working. But na kritein eha kaschana. But at the same time, there's no reason for him not to work. He has nothing to gain from not working. Nacha asya sarvabhuteshu kaschid artha vyapashrita. And he doesn't have to depend on anyone. He's transcendental. So here it comes. There's no reason for him to work. There's no reason for him not to work. He has no obligation to work, but there's no reason for him not to work also. So Krishna consciousness is not karmic activity to get something. It's also not the Rip Van Winkle program for those in the West. That is to say, sleeping for 100 years. Is that Washington Irving? Maybe not. Tasmad, therefore, asatta satatam karyam karma samachara. Asatto hyacharan karma paramapnoti purusha. Therefore, asatta, without attachment, satatam karyam karma samachara, one should always act according to one's prescribed duties. Asatto hyacharan karma paramapnoti purusha, because that way you'll attain the Supreme Personality of God. Paramapnoti. And Prabhupada comments that, all right, for the impersonalist, the param is the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, and for the devotee, Param is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in any case, one has to act under proper guidance, Prabhupada mentions, and, yes, on behalf of the Supreme. Any questions so far? Yes?
This is Param. You said that Param can be referred to the Brahma.
Yes.
But if anyone does this, we can defeat him. Purusha was a woman entity who enjoys first meaning, second is that he lies down in some place. So those are verbs. She and
verbs?
First is who enjoys Purusha.
Yeah.
Enjoys. Second one is who lies down somewhere.
Yeah.
Purusha.
Yeah.
So both are verb. I mean, come from dhatu.
Yeah, but Purusha is the subject of the sentence.
Yeah, true. But it is he will attain the Purusha. So it is.
No. Where did you get that explanation? Param apnoti. What he obtains is Param, and the person who obtains it is Purusha. Purusha's subject case.
Oh, yeah.
Working overtime there.
Yeah.
Too many cups of coffee, working overtime.
Yeah, true. Yes.
So Param is indefinite. It can be the impersonal absolute or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how Prabhupada comments here. Karmanaiva hi sangsiddhim astita janakaryaha loka sangraham evapi sampashyam kartum arhasi. Now Krishna's giving an example. Who's the example? Who's that? He's a Mahajan. Which Mahajan is he? Who is he?
Sita's father.
Yeah. He's the father of Sita Devi. And what's his qualification here?
So the performance of prescribed duties.
Huh? Yeah, he performed his prescribed duties and in that way attained perfection. So Krishna is giving an example, practical example. That Janak Arya. Arya means?
Etc. Janak and
other kings.
Yeah, Janari. Adi means and so on. Janak Adi. Janak Arya. Janak and other kings also, but Janak is mentioned. Therefore, loka sangraham evapi sampasham. For the sake of the people in general, you should do your work. And that will be explained next. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tattare vetaro janaha sayat pramanam krute lokas tad anuvartate. That's a verse everyone should know. Yat yat means?
Whatever.
Yat yat means whatever. Yat yat acharati. Shreshta. What's shreshta?
Respectable.
Yeah. Shreshta means literally?
Best.
The best. Whatever the best person does, the leading person. Shreshta means the best, foremost. Yat yad acriti shreshtas, tat tat evetara janaha. Itara means?
Common.
Yeah, itara means the others, the common people. Whatever the leader does, the regular people will do. Practical observation here in Bhagavad Gita. So follow the leader society, whatever the leaders do, followers will do. Sayat pramanam kurute, lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever example, praman, whatever he puts, he's like evidence. His life is evidence. He'll say, well, Jayadwaita Swami did it. Or, you know, well, Dao did it. You know, he's the leading guy in the class and he did it. So that's always, you know, people cite the example of some leading person. Lokas tadanuvartita, and they follow that example. So that's a good reason why one should perform one's prescribed duties. I may not need to perform prescribed duties because I may be unattached and completely devoted to the Supreme. But then the next guy comes along and says, well, you know, he's not doing anything. Why should I do anything? You know, the person is completely entangled. But he says, well, you know, let me go to sleep. Or let me quit the work, the unpleasant work that I have to do. Name partasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam varta evacha karmani. Now Krishna is giving another example of someone who performs prescribed duties without needing to. Who's that? Himself. Huh? I don't have to do anything. Name partasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. In all the three worlds, there's no work for me. Nanavaptam. Nothing I need. Avaptavyam, nothing to gain. Varta eva. Chakarmani. But even I perform prescribed duties. Examples?
Even to the school.
Herding cows, yeah. There was his job to herd cows, he was doing it.
Going to the Gurukul.
Going to the Gurukul, prescribed duty.
And sacrifice.
Yeah? What was so perfect about it?
I don't know how Prabhupada says
that. Okay, that's what was perfect about it.
He was a king of Dwaraka.
Yeah, he was a king. So what was he doing as king?
Kshatriya, he was managing the whole...
And giving donations to Brahmanas.
Yeah, there's a whole description in Krishna book, in Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna was doing every day. Who remembers some of the stuff he was doing?
Getting up early in the morning.
Meditating on himself.
Sacrifice.
Doing sacrifices. What else was he doing every day?
Giving charity to the Brahmins.
Giving charity to the Brahmins. What's that?
Taking care of his wife.
Ah, you're guessing.
His daily eight whole pastimes, Ashtakali.
Don't give me that. Now these are things that he was doing, but when the description is there of his daily duties in the morning?
Every day he would go out and he would see...
He'd go out with big-time citizens and he'd accept some presentations and then he would distribute... And he'd give something to the cows. He was doing all these, giving charity. So many things he was doing as a matter of prescribed duty. Getting up early in the morning, starting off with that. Why? Natasya karyam, Prabhupada quotes, I think. Karanam cha vidyate. The definition of the Supreme is that he has nothing to do. Natasya karyam. Karya means? Karya means?
Active prescribed duties.
Loud.
Prescribed duty.
Prescribed duties, the things that you're supposed to do. Natasya, of him, karyam, karanam cha vidyate, no such thing. He doesn't have to do anything. Krishna didn't have to do anything, and still he says, I'm doing it. Why? Yadi aham navarteyam jatu karmanya tandritaha. Mamavartmanuvartante manusha partha sarvasha. Because if I didn't very carefully, atandritaha, perform prescribed duties, everyone would follow me. Well, Krishna doesn't do it, so why should I do it?
Yeah.
Utside yuri me loka nakuryam nakuryam karma chedaham sankarasya chakartasyam upahanyam ima praja. And what would happen as a result of that? The whole world would be put to ruin. Utside yur ime loka. And what else?
Unwanted population.
Unwanted population. Krishna says, I would be the cause of Varna Sankara population, unwanted population. You tell me.
But based on this, we can see that Krishna, someone other engaging Arjuna to work, whether you are not the Chakra, you still have to do the job. When you're not doing it, you're not Chakra. Either way, it's time to engage Arjuna to work.
Do you have prescribed duties?
Yeah.
You're supposed to do them? Or can you say, well, I'm Krishna conscious, I'm not going to do them? I mean, we just read that a person who's self-satisfied, who takes pleasure in the self, doesn't have any prescribed duties. So maybe you don't have to do these prescribed duties. You tell me. I'm asking you. You have some prescribed duties. But you're fully Krishna conscious. I'm asking, do you?
Yeah.
Why? That's an answer. Any other answers? Yes, that's a lousy example. Everyone will say, what's your name, remind me? Everyone will say, well, Giri Gopal, you know, he's chucked prescribed duties. I'm going to chuck prescribed duties. Chuck is American slang for ditch it, for what is Prabhupada? Renounce. Chuck something is to throw it away. Otherwise known
actually
as ditch.
It's also an Indian word, chak de patte. Chalo, leave everything.
It came from Sanskrit. I should have known. P.N. Oaks would have told me. Yes. Yes. Did you have something?
So I'm sure the Prabhupada said we should. He gave the example in a talk in LA. And he used the example of a doctor. He said the doctor should continue to be a doctor and not possess himself.
We have some prescribed duties. There's also, of course, the possibility that we might not be fully Krishna conscious, in which case prescribed duties might help us. But even when we come to the stage of perfection, Krishna's arguing here that still, what about me? I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't have any duties, and I do them. So, what about you?
When Srila Prabhupada was here in Mayapur and his body was not very well, he was insisting that the devotees carry him down every day on a palanquin, like a stretcher, to go to Mangalartik. And he said, if he didn't go to Mangalartik, then the rascals will simply use me as an excuse when they are ill not to go.
This is Acharya, he sets the example.
Another point here is that now Krishna is saying, if I don't do my work, then unwanted progeny will come up. And Arjuna says, if I do my work, then unwanted progeny will come up.
Yeah, so he's answering. Yeah. Arjuna said, oh, I'll be caught, if I don't fight, there'll be unwanted population. And Krishna says, rather, if I fight, there'll be unwanted population. Krishna says, no, he's implying here that if you don't fight, there'll be unwanted population. What happens if people don't perform their prescribed duties? I mean, what happens, let's say, we all have our prescribed duties, Mangalarti, worshipping the deities, greeting the deities, Bhagavatam class, 16 rounds, all that kind of stuff. Now what happens, plus, you know, all the different services we did. Now let's say here in Mayapur we've got 800 people. What would happen if we all ditched, chucked our prescribed duties?
Chaos.
Yeah, what kind of chaos?
Things would be dirty.
Yeah, things would be dirty. No prasadam, this, that. But let's have some creative thinking here. Where would it finally lead? Yeah. I know that, but where does it finally go? I'm not talking about the impact on the world. Here we are in Mayapur, and we're all performing these prescribed duties, and let's say now it's Tuesday, so from Tuesday onward, we're just not going to do it anymore. We stop. What happens? We all fall into Maya. And where does that go? Yeah, which means?
Sinful life.
Eating, sleeping, waiting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just get practical here.
One thing leads to another, so then we'll stop chanting and then we'll stop, you know, all the other regulative principles.
Yeah, I mean, if we didn't have a lot of stuff to do here, and there's 800 of us here, half of us female, it would lead to the sugarcane fields, you know, in the evening. Nocturnal, you know, trysts and stuff like that. That's where, let's get real here. What happens when people don't perform their prescribed duties? What takes over?
Sex desire.
Give me a 1-3-letter word.
Rashlila.
Thank you. Without prescribed duties, sex takes over. That's what happens. You know, I mean, what happens when people, you know, people, we say, well, such and such fell into Maya. What does it usually mean? You know, he started eating chocolate or what, you know? If somebody, you know, really fell into Maya, you know, that's what falling into Maya really, you know, it's called falling in love out in the material world. We call it falling into Maya. That's what happens when prescribed duties are put aside. Then it leads, as you rightly said, to animal life. Animal life means eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So there'd be a lot of fighting going on. A lot of kissy-kissy. And, you know, from there on, you don't have to tell you. But Sankarasya, then the result is unwanted population. You know, little prescribed duties like marriage, for example, is one of the prescribed duties, huh? You know, why do that?
They've already concluded that.
Yeah, they've already ditched marriage. You know, marriage is prescribed duty according to Manu Sanghita, according to the Bible, according to, you know, whatever you go by. But they put aside the prescribed duties. And then what happens? They have all these nice little bastards, you know. They have no proper parentage.
You have a partner instead of a spouse.
Yeah, everybody's a partner. You know, and as in business firms, you know, the partners are partners for some time, and then they, you know, form new partnerships. And the kids get shoveled around like anything. You know, so I'm traveling on airplanes. I'm, you know, sitting next to a little kid. Where are you going? I'm going to meet my daddy. You know, and what's the story? The story is that mommy lives in Los Angeles and daddy lives in Dallas. You know, and every month or something he travels, you know, from one to the other. You know, and his mommy has another daddy, and his daddy has another mommy, and so he's now got like two or three sets of daddies and mommies, and you know. It's really true. I mean, this is, you know, for those of us who are not always in India, this is what's going on out there.
The real world.
Yeah, the so-called real world. And therefore, Varna Sankara, you know, children who have no, you know, they don't know who their parents are, practically speaking.
Huh? No Sanskriti.
And people even, you know, no Sanskriti. And half the time, you know, nobody wants to take responsibility for them, and they're or they're, everybody wants to take, you know, they're fought over in courts, they're like chattel, you know, like property. It's a miserable kind of a thing. And then you wonder why kids are angry, why they have attention deficit disorder, why they're basically screwed up.
Yeah, still we find liberated souls coming to this world who do renounce prescribed duties like Swagishodas Babaji or Jagannatha Babaji. They give up the world and they do Nirjan Bhajan. But can we say that they show such extreme example of...
Yeah, they're the exception.
Renunciation, they show what it actually means to follow that path.
Yeah, that's also needs to be seen.
But
yes.
I asked the same question to Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj.
Excuse me?
I asked the same question to Bhaktivedanta
yes.
Purna Maharaj. He said they renounce the Varnasa Dharma here, but they follow the Varnasa Dharma from the spiritual world.
Yeah. Yeah, they're herding cows or whatever it is. They're engaged in... They're poor Krishna-conscious person. It's a fact. He doesn't have to perform prescribed duties. But generally, for the instruction of others, they do. Now they may not. That's also there. They don't, there's no prescribed duty for them. But generally they do. Anything else here? Oh, you're back. Sakta karmanya vidvamso yata kuravanti bharata kuryad vidvams tata saktas chakirshur lokasangraham. What's being said here? Who wants to paraphrase this for me? Everyone's eager. Okay.
The learned undertake action for the pleasure of Krishna and the materialists for their own gain.
Yeah. For the pleasure of Krishna means especially? What's the special feature that's mentioned here?
Without attachment.
Without attachment. And without attachment, we understand, means actually they're attached to pleasing Krishna. What's the verse from Rupa Goswami? Anasaktasya Vishayan. He's unattached, but he's acting in relationship to Krishna, using everything for Krishna. Okay. So the materialists are acting with attachment and forgetting something, and the devotees are acting without attachment, but they're acting. Why?
To set an example.
Yes. Thank you. You're up quick. Nabhudi bhedam janayet agyanam karma sanginam joshayet sarvakarmani vidvan yukta samacharam. Buddhi-bheda. Buddhi-bheda means?
Disruption of intelligence.
Yeah. Breaking up their intelligence. Buddhi-bheda. Confusing them. Yes?
Just go back to, is it an attachment to want to do your duty well?
Is it an attachment to want to do your duty well?
Like, do you want to be a good dad or a good doctor, or is that an attachment?
Is it an attachment?
As long as you have that idea, it's this attachment.
Depends if you're doing it for Krishna or not.
Anything else?
Because Krishna had the same thing, that he promised not to fight, but he didn't want to get attached to that, that I kept my promise.
Is doing your prescribed duty an attachment? wanting to do it nicely. Any other comments, contributions here?
It's a duty, it should be done.
Yeah.
It should be done in the best way.
The goal of Varnashram is to satisfy Krishna. But even if it's like a service, if you are attached to a service.
How does that answer the question?
Actually, like as I said, when it's done for Krishna, it should be done with the best way.
This will come up later in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that there are different ways in which someone acts. Someone acts just dumb, you know, stupid, he's just doing it. And someone acts with attachment to the result. And someone acts kartavya, because it's my duty. So a question of consciousness here. A person who's acting because it's his duty and he really wants to do it well, I'll do it well and everybody will know I do it well. You know, in pursuit of excellence, you know, he wants to be the best businessman, the best husband, it's all around, you know, excellence. Why to make him feel like he's a really hotshot guy? Whatever I do well. Or whatever I do, I try to do it well. I try to excel in all my, you know, to be at least competent and attentive in all my work.
Self-aggrandizement.
Yeah, you know, if he's an employee, he wants to be an ideal employee. If he's a citizen, he wants to be an ideal citizen. But what is it? I'm an ideal citizen. I'm an ideal employee. I'm a this. I'm a that. And I get all the benefits of, you know, so it can be. But if he's thinking that, as mentioned, that I have to do this for Krishna, so I want to do it nicely. So, Nabudhi Bedam Janayet, one shouldn't screw up people's minds. Which people?
To whom we are speaking.
Ignorant.
Ignorant. Who are those ignorant? How are they described?
Attached to the fruited results of their duties.
Yeah, karma sanghis. Those who are attached to working. And agyanam. Stupid. Dull-headed. Ignorant. Agyanam karma sanghinam. One shouldn't screw up their brains. Joshiate sarvakarmani. One should engage them in all sorts of activities. Vidvan yukta samachara. Who should do that? Vidvan, a learned person. A learned person shouldn't screw people up. He should engage them in practical activities. Not that he walks into where all the stupid karmis are working like donkeys and says, okay, guys, this is idiocy. Renounce the world. But he engages them in all sorts of activities for gradual advancement of Krishna consciousness. Clear? Any questions here? Any other questions? Yes.
Specifically mentioned to the karmis who are following Vedic rituals.
Yes.
Or also to other karmis.
What do you tell? You tell me.
I'm just asking because my impression that it is rather to Vedic karmis, according to what Prabhupada writes in the book.
Yeah. But let's think practically. You have people who are doing some sort of work. Now, if you try to engage them, you know, just blow them off the map and say, you know, what are you working for? You know, let's say you got a guy, he's got a wife and three kids, and he's working like a stupid karmi. Right? got a wife, a 3 kids, and he's working at a stupid job, you know, like the dumbest karmi in the world. Now, what is your advice to him? You're Vidvan, you're a learned person. What advice are you going to give him? Okay, you don't have any advice for him, you know, what can I say?
Poor guy, you guys aren't going to tell him anything.
Please engage the results of your work in Krishna service.
You continue work, but also in working the spirit of devotion. You
yeah.
also do devotion service side by side.
Yeah. Any different advice?
Tat
sadhu manye. Suravarya day. Yeah, you can give him heavier advice, but in terms of his, of what you're practically advising him.
Practically, in the beginning stage would be engage the results. The salary that you have.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell him, go to the forest, you know, tell him. You can tell him, you know, ditch all this and go to the forest. But here Krishna's recommending, don't try and blow their minds.
Yeah.
Why did Prahlad Maharaj
say this? He's Prahlad Maharaj. Well, for a person like Hiranyakashipu, it would be better to go to the forest.
Yeah, he had some previous records doing
our Prabhupada quotes Prabhupada Sarasvati on a recording called The Art of Preaching, and he encourages taking the, you know, the diplomatic role. My dear sir, you're so highly qualified.
Yeah.
See how hard you're working. You're a very responsible man. So
hey, sadhava.
So kindly bring your wife and family.
Yeah, practically our movement means we'll tell people that you're doing this work, that's all right, but give the result for Krishna, take up these devotional activities, start becoming Krishna conscious. Because if we, you know, just start blowing everyone and saying, you know, it's all rubbish, there'll be some difficulty. Now, sometimes we may say it anyway, judging and considering. But in general, especially Agyanam, Karma Sanginam, like Narada, he met the sons of the Prachetas, he saw they weren't very attached. You know, and they were all getting set to, you know, do serious tapasya so that they could be good householders. And Narada thought, what a waste. You have these very nice boys, very intelligent, not attached, and their dad is just trying to get them, you know, hitched up and tied to a post. So he preached to them, you know, in an indirect sort of way.
Youth preaching.
He said, you know, forget it. What are you wasting your time for? So we may also do that. But when we see that there's a person who's a jnani, he's unenlightened, and karma-sanghi, very attached to working, then we say, all right, then work, but work for Krishna.
Maharaj, could you say then that if one is preaching fanatically, then they're preaching contrary to this verse?
Well, fanatically already, you know, poisons the argument. You know, someone says, what's, you know, one man's strong preaching is another man's fanatical preaching. So if you're caught saying it's fanatical already, you know, we have to say it's not good. But maybe it's not fanatical. You know, for some people, insisting on 4 regulative principles is fanaticism. So you have to consider.
You're saying it's relative according to...
But here it's practical advice. That one should engage others in activity because they can't stop working anyway. They're forced to act by their natures. So let them work for Krishna. Joshiate. One should engage them.
But why is Lord Krishna saying this to Arjuna at this point of time?
Why?
Why is Lord Krishna saying this to Arjuna at this point of time? What's the logic?
Good question. I would say it follows from what he said, you know, hey, you have to set the example.
But Arjuna is not ignorant, and he is not attached to...
No, but the others are ignorant. Tata karma, sakta karma anya vidvamsa. So Krishna is saying, the unattached should still act to set the example for others. Now he's saying, you're going to screw up their intelligence. If you set the example that gets them just ditching their prescribed duties, that's not going to be very good. He doesn't specifically say, he's not talking about preaching here. He doesn't say specifically don't preach to them. But one should not cause disruption of their intelligence. I gave that as a practical application. You know, what do we preach to people? But just by seeing your example, so yet pramanam kurute, you're going to disrupt their intelligence because they're going to look at you and say, well, you know, I don't have to work.
No, I don't have to work. Arjuna didn't work. Why should I work? You know what I mean? I mean, he's not working. Why should I work? You know?
That's why people feel intimidated just by sometimes even just seeing a devotee. They're thinking, well, to be Hare Krishna means to be like that? Oh, no.
Yeah, I just have seen practical result of such preaching from these people. And like they had fear that they have to renounce everything because somebody preached them in a very strong and unsensitive way. They said, therefore, I will not, I don't want to anything to do with this movement.
Now, there is such thing, I don't want to just lay down the law about preaching tactics, because there is such a thing as being very strong and, you know, letting people know that Nasadu Manye, Suryavarya Dehinam, is really one ought to go to the forest rather than be a gross sense of gratifier. You know, there's such a thing as being very, very strong, and there's sometimes you want to, you know, bust up a person's intelligence. That's sometimes there. But here, in context, Krishna is telling Arjuna that you're going to be setting a bad example. You're going to be disrupting the intelligence of people who maybe don't have the same discrimination you have. You know, on the basis of your fine discrimination, you're talking about not fighting, but these people they're just attached to working. But now they're going to be confused because you didn't do your duty. They think, well, then I don't have to do mine. And finally, what's it going to come down to? It's going to come down to boys and girls in the bushes and having unwanted children. That's really what you're going to be doing. The same thing that you wanted to prevent by not fighting is what you're going to be causing by not fighting. That's the argument.
So here, in the section 11 to 16, 9 to 16, the yoga ladder has been described, how the consciousness is developing one after another. So, Lord Krishna is referring that consciousness, development of consciousness. So, in yoga ladder, the development of consciousness, how one is become, one is first is a karmi, and then, you know, sakam karmi, and then karma yogi. So, he's telling that, yeah, don't disturb their consciousness, let them do their work. And gradually, by sacrifice, performing sacrifice, they will come up.
Not just let them do their work, but engage them,
Joshiate. Yeah.
Engage them in devotional activities.
Yeah.
Okay? Are we moving on?
Yes.
Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma prataham iti manyate. Very important verse.
One of the key memorization was the second.
Is it?
One. Yeah.
Okay. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Someone give me a paraphrase. I don't have to do all the work here.
Things are done by material
one who is in material consciousness thinks that he is controller of the activities, but this is actually enacted by three modes of material nature.
Okay, basically you turn this sentence around, that's good. Yes? Yeah, that's a very loose paraphrase. Yeah, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. All activities are actually being conducted by the modes of material nature. Later Krishna will say, brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra ruddhani maya. Everyone is bolted to the machinery of material nature. So he's acting as he's forced to act. The machinery is forcing him to act in a certain way, but kartaham iti manyate, he's thinking, I'm doing it. He's being forced to act, number one. The result is not being produced by him, it's being produced by material nature also. But why is he thinking this way? Ahankara vimudhatma. He's a bewildered soul, vimudhatma, a very bewildered soul, vimudha, not just a mudha, but a vimudha, very bewildered person, and ahankara vimudhatma. By false ego, he's thinking this way. What is false ego?
Ahamiti.
Yeah, I. Aham means?
I am
what? I'm this body. He's thinking I'm this body. And I'm the doer of this and this. It's actually being done by material nature, and he's thinking he's doing it.
Maharaj?
Yes?
Can there also not be, there could also be another explanation about the doer part? Sometimes even as devotees, the tendency may be to want to take credit for some devotional service that we're doing.
Yeah, how's action getting done? In the 18th chapter, Krishna will say that there are five constituents to any activity. What is that? Adhisthanam tata karta, karanam cha pratag vidha, vividhas cha pratag cheshta, daiva cha vatra panchama. We're thinking, hankar vimudhatma kartaham. I'm thinking, I'm doing it. But Krishna says, the action is being made possible by, first of all, the place, which can be taken to mean the body or else the place where things are happening. Karta, okay, that's you, the so-called doer. Karanam cha pratak, vidha, the different kinds of senses. If you don't have the senses, you can't do it. Vividhai cha pratak cheshta, the different kinds of endeavor. And daiva chaivatra panchamam. Daiva means? Means?
Supreme Lord.
In the form of Kal?
One way or the other? Daiva can take, sometimes it's taken to mean destiny. You know, it was destined to happen, it was in the stars.
Karma and daiva nature.
Daiva, higher authorities. Finally, it means the personality of Godhead. You know why? You worked hard and you struck it rich. Another person's worked hard and didn't get anything. So if it's just due to a person's work, why didn't you both get an equal result? Both worked. You know, two gold miners are working side by side, and they say, "Okay, I'm going to go to the right road, and I'm going to go to the left road, and let's both do something." And you know, one comes back a millionaire, and the other, you know, fell off a cliff. You know why? They were equal men, equal everything. But okay, the place was different and karma was different. Daiva, the Supreme Lord, didn't allow this guy to become a millionaire. And sometimes even a person would, you know, so many ways. The doctor cured someone who was incurable. But is it just because he's a great doctor? The same doctor tomorrow might lose a patient who's not very sick. It's not just up to us. Finally, material nature is acting behind everything. And we're falsely thinking, it's me. Shall we continue? Or any questions here?
Where did that verse start? What was the first word?
in that verse that you just quoted about the...
Adhisthana Vata Karta, it's the 18th chapter. No, it's not 14. Oh, 18:14?
In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 3rd chapter, there is a verse. It says that as calf, they identify their mothers and approach to her. The karmas approach to the doer this way.
As the calf knows the mother, the karma knows the person who's supposed to get the karma.
Very dangerous.
Can't escape.
Can't escape. Yes.
Then if we're not responsible for the action, why do we suffer?
If we're not responsible for the action, why do we suffer?
Yes, we're partially responsible. The second or third point was the doer.
You know, you're just acting it out. You're just stuck on the wheel of karma, acting as karma dictates. So why doesn't karma get the reaction? Why do you get the reaction? Good question.
Because we're the source of that energy. It's like if I throw a stone to break a glass, the stone doesn't get punished. I get punished.
Yeah, but you're the source of that energy, but you were just acting according to the modes of nature. Yeah. So why are you getting blamed for something that material nature is doing?
Using free will, I
think. There's three doers. The soul, he desires.
Yeah.
He wants to do something.
Yeah.
That's his free will. Therefore, he's a doer. But he cannot do it, fulfill the desire independently. So then the super soul sanctions through material nature, which is the third doer. So the material nature is doing it according to the...
But then I'll argue that, you know, I only desired it because of the modes of nature I was in contact with. It wasn't me, Your Honor. I was dictated to by the modes of nature. And that's why I got this crazy desire. So don't put me in jail. Put, you know, the Gunas in jail. It's the Guna brothers. It's not me.
I can't catch them. Somebody can catch you.
Easier to catch me? Yeah, okay. What do you say about that?
False ego.
You can't just throw a word at me, false ego. What do you mean? What about false ego? Yes?
You can desire to correct yourself also and to get up.
No, I'm just dictated by the modes of nature. Prakriti, Kriyamanani, Gunaikar, they're doing everything.
No, you can choose. You have the choice with modes associated with.
What kind of choice do I have? You know, modes are powerful. Daibhiye
Shugunamayi. Yeah,
finally it comes down to a little bit of free will. You can argue from this verse, you can try to argue that, well, living entity has no freedom at all. But Baladeva Vidyabhushan, in his Vedanta Sutra commentary, answers this. He says, no, the living being has a little bit of freedom.
Minute independence.
He has minute independence, a little bit of freedom, by which to follow the directions of Krishna or not. He said, otherwise, what would be the use of the Vedic injunctions? Why give Vedic instruction to a person who's not capable of taking Vedic instructions? The instruction should be, if we say, you know, no meat eating, we shouldn't tell you, we should tell your body. Because you have no independence. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, no, there's a little bit of independence there.
And ignorance is no excuse.
That's also there. But you know, you did this because of this, because of this, because. But the ultimate cause is that you're neglecting Krishna. Okay.
Once I was preaching one person that all your activities being controlled by a certain Lord and these three modes and everything.
Loud. If I can't even hear you, what to speak of everyone else?
I was preaching a person.
Hey.
He was driving the bike and I was sitting behind him and I was preaching. Everything is being controlled by the three modes of material nature and directly Supreme Personality of Godhead is controlling. So he raised the accelerator and told that, see, no one is controlling this. I am doing it. Like. So I could not convince him that everything is being controlled by the three modes and the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, because he's controlled by the three modes.
Mode of passion. The interesting was passion.
He can't understand it because he's controlled by his bike. Brum, brum. Ahamkar Vimuta, you know, that's like the ultimate Ahamkar machine, you know, one of those. Maybe not the ultimate, but it's a big Ahamkar machine, you know. Brum, brum. And he thinks he's somebody because he's got, you know, he makes a roars like a lion if there's, you know, some petrol in his tank. Yes, so many things. People, the Ahamkar is going like crazy. And they're thinking that they're hot stuff. And so they can't understand. The bigger their egos, the less they can understand that they're not doing anything.
The prophet said, I am Mr. Rolls Royce, but you are Mr. Chevrolet.
Yeah. They can't understand. The more, the bigger the ego gets, the less he can understand. When he crashes his bike, maybe then he'll... Yes?
One person was saying that, you know, he's saying that Krishna is controlling everything. He's cause of all causes.
Yeah.
And he knows about our past, present, and future.
Yeah.
So our destiny is already fixed.
Yeah.
Like, we're so many years, and next life is this. So that person is saying, already everything is fixed.
But so there's still independence.
It's still...
This is something we'll talk about maybe some other time. I don't think we have lots of time to talk about it today. But you can know what's going to happen. Krishna can know what's going to happen. And still, all the options are open.
Can we call this like a video game where the programmer has already destined this route and this route? If you go on this route, you'll get a hospital. If you go on this route, you'll get mugged. Both are programmed, but you take the choice. If you go take this choice, this was pre-programmed. If you take this choice, this was pre-programmed. Both are there in destiny.
No, but his point is that Krishna already knows which way you're going to go. So then it seems that it's already settled.
Free will is.
But it's still, there's. I'll give you an example. This is from parapsychology. There's an experiment done. This is documented. Princeton University Engineering Anomalies Research Laboratory. They have something called remote viewing, which is like what Sanjay does. That I can give you, I'll give, you know, on a double blind condition, scientific, you know, nobody knows anything about anything else. You have like five envelopes, which have different destinations. And then you choose, or an envelope is chosen at random, and so you go to that destination. Now, at that destination, you broadcast mentally, however you do it, what you're seeing. And the person sitting in the laboratory has to try to visualize what you're broadcasting. And they're getting results. Statistically significant results. And they have some ways of measuring it. They have some objective criteria. That yes, more than by you'd expect by average, there's a correlation between the broadcast and the apparent reception. Okay, so that's already weird. But documented, scientifically documented. And, you know, it's all done random, you know, random particle generators that run a machine that choose the thing. Okay. What's more weird is that they have you sit in the laboratory, you visualize what's being broadcast, you write the results. A week later, they generate the numbers and everything, and the person goes off and broadcasts what he's seeing. And still they get the results. It's not yet determined at the time that you're getting the reception what the future is going to be. It's still totally open. It's totally random. And still he's getting the results. That means the world is weird. It's not known. Not yet determined.
This is like quantum mechanics. Based on the observation.
Yeah. Who can figure you could try and give a quantum mechanical explanation, but the fact is it's just plain weird. Or I'll give you another example. No, I won't give you that example. But anyway, this is Krishna. His capability of knowing is so great that even when it's not yet decided, you haven't even yet decided what you're going to do, and you could do whatever you want, he still knows what you're going to choose. It's open, and still he knows. You can't do that, so you say, oh, that violates some sort of law. Krishna, it's possible. And we just violated a couple of laws with this remote viewing. You're not supposed to see things at a distance. You're certainly not supposed to be getting reception from the future. This violates every sort of law. And yet, human beings, ordinary punky little human beings, are doing these things. So what can Krishna do? And still it's open. Okay, that was our excursion, diversion there. Do I want to do a little bit more? Yes, I do. Tattvavittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna gunesha vartanta iti matva nasajjate. Two means? But. So here's the opposite story. The ahankar guy is totally puffed up, but the tattvavit, the person who knows what is what, does not entangle himself in the senses and sense gratification because he knows the difference between working in devotion and working for material results. Clear enough? Prakritair guna sammuddha sajante guna karmasu Tana Krishna Vido Mandan Krishna Vin Navichaliate. Essentially, Krishna is saying the same thing here again. Prakritair Guna Sammudha. Sammudha means? Sammudha means? Bewildered, yes, but Sammudha? Completely. Sam means completely bewildered. Guna Sammudha, completely bewildered, Prakritehe, by material nature. Sajante guna karmasu, people become engrossed in material work, but tana Krishna vido mandan. Krishna vit navichaliate. They may be fools, but a person who's not a fool should not agitate them. Not try to, as Prabhupada says, unsettle them. It's not that we just try to get people to quit work. That's not our point. It's not all about, because that's Arjuna's idea. Hey, put aside these unpleasant duties. More than unpleasant, horribly ghastly duties. Krishna says no. Perform your duty and don't try to unsettle others. Instead, Mayi sarvadi karmani sanyasyad yatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudyashva vigata jvaraha. Now here's the conclusion. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyad yatma chetasa. This is real renunciation. To give up for Krishna. Mayi. Mayi sarvani karma. Now the conclusion comes. It's not just giving up work, but it's dedicating work to Krishna. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyad yatma chetasa. With adyatma chetasa, spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva. Become nirashi. Nirashi means free from asha, material desires. And nirmamo. No, nothing belongs to you. Bhutva means becoming like that. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva. Becoming free from desires, becoming free from ahankar, false ego, false proprietorship. Yudyashva. Fight. That's the final conclusion. Krishna's telling Arjuna again and again. Fight. Yudyashva. Vigata jvara. Giving up jvara. Jvara means? Yeah, it actually means fever. What happens when you get a fever? You become lethargic. You get a fever and you feel, you know, why? Let's go to kirtan. No, I. You get a fever, you don't feel like doing anything.
In Natve Vahang Jatumyasan and in this and many other verses where Lord Krishna is demonstrating that he is the Supreme Lord, Arjuna is not bewildered by that. How is that?
Say that again.
In Natve Vahang Jatumyasan verse and this verse and other verses before that, where Lord Krishna is, by his speech, he is demonstrating that he is the Supreme Lord, Arjuna is not bewildered by that. That means Arjuna already knew that he is Supreme Lord.
Yeah, he knows. He knows. Sometimes he knows, sometimes he forgets. But he knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is telling him. So, Mayi.
So, if he knows, then why didn't he simply accept the moment he said it the first time?
Because he forgets. He gets overwhelmed. Why? Pretty adorable, young. Weakness of heart.
Even when Krishna is personally present.
Yeah. I mean, just like we go to the temple and we know what we're supposed to do and Krishna is right there and, you know, but weakness of heart, something distracts us, someone distracts us. And even though, you know, we know that, I know that I'm not this body, I know that I'm spirit soul, I know that life is not meant for sense gratification.
Those
cute little feet come by and a little smile to go with them, and pretty soon, you know, why Hridi Adarbalyam? Weakness of heart. Therefore, Krishna has to speak to Arjuna about transcendental knowledge by which his weakness of heart will be dispelled. Nashtamoha smitir bhakta. All right, we will see you all tomorrow. Thank
verse,
you all very much.
Oh, Arjuna is not mentioned in this verse.
Oh, Arjuna is not mentioned in this verse. Is that a problem?
It's good actually, but it's my doubt.
Oh, Arjuna.
Therefore, Arjuna surrendering all your works to me. Kaunteya usually or Kaunteya something will be there.
Oh, I see. So probably. Well, is it a problem?
No, it's good actually, but because they are asking this keywords to write the translation exam.
Yeah. So if you leave out O Arjun, you won't fail. Don't worry. As a guarantee, you get it from obviously the
You get the this verse.
Fear not.
Do you have it somewhere? Yeah, this is the Gauriya Patrika. I saw it in Ujjain, Guru Maharaj.
Sir.